singing in Psalms 107 this morning. And if you are a visitor today, welcome to New Life. I want you to feel welcome here. And we're going to be in Psalms 107 this morning. Don't you all love the Lord? Y'all love the Lord in your life? I hope that you do. I hope you can say that God has been good to me. But I ask you this, can you say that you've been good to God? So let's pray. Father, Lord, once again, we begin this process of this peace of our service, Lord, where we begin to share your word as we previously just did through song. But Lord, here we're going to do it through your word. We pray, Father, that we'd be receptive of it. We pray, Father, our hearts would be open to what you'd have for us today. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Psalms 107 is a piece about God's delivering. Basically, this is God to the rescue. God to the rescue. So I'm only going to take a few sections of this, but maybe half of it, and that's it. We don't have time for the rest, but I want to try to take some of these main pieces today. And I want you to understand why some of you have problems in your life. Okay? Why some of us have problems in our life. But here it is. The first couple of verses says this in verse 1. Give thanks to the Lord, for he is good. He is faithful. His faithful love endures forever. Amen. Come on now. If you love the Lord, just and you can agree with the scriptures, just give him a shout. Number 2 says this in verse 2. Let the redeemed of the Lord proclaim that he has redeemed them from the power of the foe and has gathered them from the hands, from the east and the west, from the north and the south. So what we see here is we see the awesomeness of God, and then we're going to get into some detail on what this really means. But basically here, the Lord's love endures forever. You cannot stop the love of God. You cannot. God has so much love, and he loves all of us. But it says here, let the redeemed say so. Let the redeemed say so, because he has redeemed them from the foe. The foe is Satan himself. Satan is doing a lot of damage in people's lives. But here it's called, let the redeemed of the Lord say so. Yes. And then also it talks about just gathering them up. God found them in their brokenness all the way from the south to the east, to the north, to the south, anywhere God can reach out. Now we're going to get into the details of what some of this looks like. And some of you are not going to like it, because it's going to remind you of your past. But if you were with the Lord, you're going to say, but I'm okay with that, and I'm glad. But some of you are not going to like it because you're here right now. You're in one of these three places right now, and I hope that you're not. I hope you can say that, you know what, I was in the second one, or I was in the third one. But I praise the Lord that he brought me out. Number one, starts here in verse 4, some wandered in the desolate wilderness, finding a way to a city where they could live. They were hungry and thirsty, and their spirits failed within them. Then they cried out to the Lord in their trouble. He rescued them from their distress, and he led them by the right path to go to a city where they could live. Let them give thanks to the Lord for his faithful love and his wondrous works for all humanity, for he has satisfied the thirsty and filled the hungry with good things. What we're finding here, this first one, is the lost, those that are wandering. Some wandered in desolate wilderness. People wander in a desolate wilderness, being in places they ought not be, finding themselves in places they ought not be. These are God's people in wrong places. The writer is writing that the thanksgiving for God's, the awesomeness of God's hand for and giving deliverance, so-called God to the rescue. And we're seeing that some today are wandering out there in wilderness. The wilderness is an area where you get lost. So they're lost out there walking around claiming that they are a believer, but really kind of suppressing it because the people that they're with don't want to hear it. So they're kind of putting it away, putting it in their pocket. And they're wandering all over the place, in places they should not be. And I ask you, where is the place that you should not be? But if you know of places, many of you can say, I am not there today. But I know what that place looks like. Most of us could say, if we were honest, that we know where the wilderness is, where the wilderness was that we were part of. But here's what we see. Something has happened. It's an amazing piece. It says this: then they cried out to the Lord in their trouble. Aha. Isn't that how you got yourself back with the Lord? You had to cry out and say, Lord, here am I. Here's what I'm doing. Lord, here I cry out to the Lord. Lord, help me. And what we know is God is faithful and He helped them. And He says He led them by the right path, because so many of us are on the wrong path, and He will put you on the right path. Let me tell you, folks, you get on the wrong path, it costs a lot. The toll may say one thing, but when you get on that road, Satan will lie to you, and it will be a cost. It will bankrupt you and think you couldn't get any more bankrupt than you could possibly be, and he'll take even more than that. And we're going to see, even with some, he wants to take even more than that. A second group. He goes on. He says, listen to verse 10. Others sat in darkness and gloom, prisoners in cruel chains, because they rebelled against God's commands and despised the counsel of the Most High. And He broke their spirits with hard labor, and they stumbled, and there was no one to help. Then they cried out to the Lord in their trouble, and He saved them from their distress. He brought them out of the darkness and gloom and broke their chains apart. Let them give thanks to the Lord for His faithful love and His wondrous works for all humanity. For He has broken down the bronze gates and cut through the iron bars. Here now we're talking about the guilty, the sinner, the guilty. We're talking about those who are on those chains, those who are in a really bad place. These are the people that reject God. These are they're godly people. These are the people, they do as they please. They rebelled against God. Isn't it something that we can hear the gospel? We know as a believer, we want to do what God wants us to do, but then we don't do it and we just rebel against it. We don't want to do that. You know how many kids don't want to go to school or don't want to go to church because of their parents? You know how many spouses don't want to go to church because their spouse wants to go and one doesn't want to go? So there's this whole thing of rebellious beginning even in a young age, or even in a marriage. All those things, the whole family doesn't, they sit there and rebel against God. They don't want to do it, and they wonder why they're having problems. They rebel against the Lord. That's what it says. They're prisoners in cruel chains because they rebelled against God's commands. We read that in the Old Testament. When God's people would rebel, He would allow them to go into slavery or in some type of bondage, and until they would get to a place where they say, we're sick and tired of it, and repent. And so here we find out that some people today, even today, people are rejecting God, and so they just want to do what they want to do until God breaks them. And it doesn't matter if you are a stallion and you think you've got this world and nobody can ride you and all that stuff. Let me tell you, God can break you. God sees what your potential is. God sees what He wants to use you as, and He'll take you as you are, but He won't leave you the same. And I believe He wants to forgive you. He's going to do those things, but we have to acknowledge that. As it says, these people went out and they asked for help. They cried out to the Lord in their trouble. Well, God's going to break you. God has to break you. God has to break you to get your attention. God has to break you, not even just to get your attention, but to get you on the right path. He has to break you. And the first part of breaking is you have to admit that you are a problem. You have to admit that you have sin in your life. You have to admit that your way doesn't work. Even as a believer, you have to admit that your way doesn't work. You see, we come to this place where we have salvation, we have baptism, we're trying, we're doing it, but we still want our parts of the world. We still want to do our thing. We still want to be free to sin and do this one or two things that we really like. We want, that's me, that's my world, that's my time. No, it's not. No, it's not. When you come to Christ, you're His. You're all His. And if you want to rebel against the Lord, then He will break you. He will allow you the consequences of some of the sins that you're choosing. And here, they ended up in cruel chains. They ended up in there. And so what's He saying? Verse 12. He broke their spirits with hard labor. God will put the hammer down to get you to the point where you're finally going to break. The military will take you down. The military takes you as you are. It doesn't matter how good a shape you are. It doesn't matter all those things. You're educated, whatever. The military will break you down. And then when they break you down, then they will start to rebuild you up. Just because somebody puts a uniform on and carries a rifle and puts it on and maybe can do a half a salute or whatever, or 50 push-ups, can run a 2 mile and 10:30 or whatever it may be, doesn't make them a soldier. They will break you down, and then they're going to build you up. God will do the same thing. He will break you down. He'll break you down until you cry out. We come to this place in church where we want to hear these messages all about God loves you, and He does. We all hear all the good stuff, but we don't want to hear the part that God does discipline those whom He loves. I scanned the channels last week just to see what was on the religious channels. I was done in 5 minutes. There's one I watched for a few more minutes, and then it was like, oh, there it goes. There's the hook. Prosperity preaching. Right out there was the hook. And I was like so saddened. And I was like, why? Because people don't want to hear the stuff about being disciplined by God breaking people. No, we want to hear about God giving me stuff, God giving me all my dreams in front of me, all my visions that I want to be, the house I want, the marriage I want, the wife I want, the kids I want, all perfect in my world. Let me tell you, that doesn't exist in this world. It doesn't exist. It said from the very beginning, let the redeemed of the Lord proclaim that He has redeemed them from the power of the foe, power of Satan. You know why all that stuff is preached from the pulpit about get your best life now, get your stuff. It's all about you. Let's lift you up. You are more than you think you are, this and that. And it all is about you. You know why? Because when it's all about us, we took our eyes off of Jesus and put them on ourselves. And if there's anybody you're going to love more than anybody in the world, it's going to be yourself. I deserve that. I need that. That belongs to me. And we walk around thinking that God is here for us. Can I remind you, God is not here. I want to say that in the right way. In the nice way. God made us. God made us to be in fellowship with Him, to worship Him. We are under Him. Folks, can you say today, I am under Jesus, I am under the Lord? Can you say that? I hope you can say that, because when you put yourself even keel or over, then you put yourself in God's place. And not one of us would be able to handle it, to sit in the King's throne and on His chair. These people were guilty. But they came to a place and the Lord broke their spirit. He broke them. And then they cried out. They cried out. And as they cried out, what's it say? They cried out, He helped them. You see, we want God to help us, but we don't want to be broken. We want Him to help us. But here, the moment when God begins to help is the moment we begin to cry out and say, God, I can't do this. I need You to do what I can't do. And He helps them. And the Scripture says that they're to call out on the Lord and give thanks. These people are to give thanks and to testify about what the Lord, how He has saved them and has helped them. And we need to do that. And now we get to the third one, the very hard one. So we talk about those who are wandering and those who are being in places where they shouldn't be. They're the lost people. They're living their life the way they want to do it. They're just running out doing their thing, but they know better. And then we're talking about those who are in the chains and those who have broken this. They have chosen not to follow. They know God's word and they've chosen not to live by it. And they rebelled against it. But God still loved them and He even broke them. Many of them He broke. And then we get to this part where the first verse begins with the word fools. Verse 17, fools suffered affliction because of their rebellious ways and their iniquities. These are people who chose, were foolish. They knew better. But they did it anyway, even knowing that there could be severe consequences. Fools suffered affliction because of their rebellious ways and their iniquities. That's our whole evil lifestyle of living. They loathed all the food and came near the gates of death. Then they cried out to the Lord in their trouble, and He saved them from their distress. He sent his word and healed them. He rescued them from the pit. He gave them, let them give thanks to the Lord for his faithful love and his wondrous works for all humanity. Let them offer sacrifices of thanksgiving and announce his works with shouts of joy. Here we have this piece here. We have this group of people here. This is the sick people. These people are sick. These people are sick. They are, this is the reason why it's called, reason I believe the word fools begins this section is, it's self-inflicted. Drug addiction. Alcoholism. Pornography. And all the things that consist in it, hatred, racism, all those things, that stuff is self-inflicted. We did it to ourselves, and we can point it, and society today wants to say, well, that's this, this is why this happened. Listen, here scripture says, here it is. They were foolish. Fools suffered affliction. They have suffered affliction. It means they didn't have to suffer, but they chose to live foolishly and self-inflicted themselves. And so it affected their health. I'm going to say a dangerous thing right now. Please love me through it. But there could be some here today that need to go to the doctor and check and make sure you don't have any sexual diseases today. We don't talk about AIDS much anymore because now all we do is see everybody gathered up on the screen and they're all doing fine and they're all happy, and as long as you take this medicine. A few years ago, someone was sharing with me, I asked him, and I said, you don't want to know how many people in Fort Wayne have AIDS. And nobody's talking about it, except those who are inflicted with it, and they get in their groups, and we need the meds, we need the meds. As long as we got a med for it, we don't need to talk about it. They can live the lifestyle. Self-inflicted. What's it say in verse 18? They loathed all the food and came near the gate. They loathed all the food. They loathed all the food, the things that could make them healthy. The things that could make them healthy, they loathed that. They didn't want that. They didn't want that. And it says, and they came near the gates of death. They came near the gates of death. There's self-inflicted wounds here that they are so unhealthy that they're close. And many have died. People have died today. I got a text message this morning from somebody in Fort Wayne, from a manager from a factory. He told me, pray for us. We just lost an employee of an overdose. That's what this scripture is about. Foolish. People who've been drug addiction for 20 years. Bible says not to call anybody a fool. But it is a foolish lifestyle. They think they got it and they can hold it by their hand and they got it in control. Listen, you don't control as much as you think you do, and I don't control as much as I think I do. I may be behind the wheel driving down 9, but I don't know if a tractor is going to pull out. I don't know what the guy in front of me or the woman behind me is going to do. We don't know if somebody's going to jump out of a car and do something. We don't know. We think that we're in this whole thing of control. Let me tell you, there's so much going on in the world. It's almost like it's out of control. But the reason it's not out of control is because it's God is in control. But he does allow people to live out the consequences and the things. And here it is. He says, they were fools. They suffered affliction because of their rebellious ways. They rebelled against the things. Why do you think we talked about it many years ago, and we want the Ten Commandments up there. Listen, they're important. Honor thy father and mother. There's a promise with that. Thou shalt not kill. People suffered. They suffered and knew that there could be severe consequences, even to the point of death. You know, it really makes, it's not political, it's just my opinion, this whole thing about making marijuana legal across the country. These states making it all legal. Talk to anybody that works in law enforcement, they'll say it's a gateway drug. My question is now is how many of them law enforcement officers are going to do it because it's legal. Just wondering. They make it legal because there's money. Everything's about money. But it's a gay. You talk to somebody that's used, and usually that's the first thing they tried. It's marijuana. But ask somebody when somebody laced something with it. Then we're in a whole other ball game. Mixing things that they think that they're in control of. Well, yeah, I got it from my friend who does good. He knows he's good. And next thing you know, they get something that's really bad. And then they die. That gets somebody's attention when two or three people die because there's a batch going out there that's really bad. But here's the thing. We don't even think about it, but we're always about talking about that. But here it is when we talk about alcoholism, more people die of alcoholism than they do drug addiction. But we don't talk about it because alcohol is legal. The reason these scriptures bothers me is because I've been dealing with people since, seems like forever, in these situations. I'm so thankful when some get out. There's a lady here in Huntington. Try to help from time to time, and she's an alcoholic. I'm surprised she's still living. She lives in a dump. I'm talking about a dump. It's horrible. And there's people in there. I felt like it was dark, evil. I felt like there was disease in the house. Sin, like it's like sinful filth. Gets a chance to get out of it. Goes to some rehab, comes back, and goes right back to it. Turned around and said, I'm not going back there. Let me tell you, you'll go back there unless you got Jesus. You'll go back. You'll go back because that's what you know. I'm just waiting for the moment when I'm going to hear about it that she's passed away. Because here's the thing. Scripture says they suffered affliction because of their rebellious ways and their iniquities. They load it. They come up close to death. Listen, I can pick that person up and throw them across the room. I ain't weighing 8 pounds. Here it is. Until they cry out and say, Lord, I am a mess. I need you in my life. My way is not working. My way doesn't work. And so here it is. Until they get to that moment, they're still going to continue in that lifestyle. But here, when you cry out, this person cries out, it says the Lord hears them in their trouble, and He saved them from their distress. And what I really like about this section, it says in verse 20, He sent His word and healed them. People say, why doesn't God heal people? Why doesn't God heal them? Why doesn't God help them out? For many, it's not until you're broken, until you come to the saving knowledge of Jesus Christ that I can't do life without Him. This way is not working. And when people break and they call upon the name of the Lord, I love 20, He sent His word and healed them. And what's it say? He rescued them from the pit. He rescued them from darkness. And even if that person is laying in the hospital or hospice and is going to die, it's still true. He healed them and saved them from the pit. Sometimes even in death, death is the greatest victory. Had an individual that went against God so much. I walked in the hospital, was visiting, and he said, I just saw a new look on his face. Jimmy, I want to tell you, I finally come to Jesus. Somebody shared the gospel. I've been telling every nurse coming in here that about Jesus and all those things. And he says, I told my wife here we're going to go on a vacation and all those things. And then I come back the next day, he had passed that night. But just one day of being broken can change your eternal life. He had just hours to live. He didn't know it. But here it is. His health deteriorated and he died. But in the spirit, his health was stronger than ever. And as the scripture says, he rescued them from the pit. And he was rescued from the pit. Even in death. But it also says that they are to give thanks to the Lord. That's what they do. They give thanks to the Lord after they have been broken. He hears them. There's a call to give thanks to the Lord and a call to testify about the works of the Lord. And we see all three of these groups. There's other pieces we can't get to, but all three of these groups, whether they're lost and wandering and doing their thing, maybe that prodigal piece that you're looking, you know, you have family members or whatever, and then it's those who are under that yoke of just hardcore labor. Just life is so hard for them because they rebel against this. It reminds me of the scriptures where we see I just drew a blank of the scripture, but it's where the prophet's saying, you got somebody help me out, you got put money in your pocket and it goes out the holes. I just read it. Oh my goodness. Anyway, it's where you're doing everything you want in your own strength and you're not even getting what you put into it. God's taking it away from you, letting you lose it all. It's Hosea. No, that was it. Anyway. And then the end of all of this, what we come to find out is when you call upon the Lord, is God rescues. God to the rescue. I want to ask you a question. Have you ever called God to rescue you? I hope so, especially at your time of salvation. Amen. Didn't understand it, but you knew you were a sinking ship. You were out in the ocean and you were sinking. And there was somebody threw you a life preserver. And it had Jesus all over it. Some people are still pushing that away. Going down, coming back up, wearing themselves out in life because they just don't want anything to do with Jesus. They'll blame the church, they'll blame everything and all these things. But in the end, they're just angry or upset and do not want Christ. But if you're a Christian and you've been a Christian for a while, I probably can guarantee you there were times in your life where you called out to Jesus and said, Lord, I need your help. And then there's been times where God has helped you and blessed you and you live that life for what God has called you to do. But then something happened. Whether it was a slow fade or it was a turn off the path. And you kind of went down the wrong road. And you started saying, why aren't things working for me? Why isn't life working for me? Why did I lose this? Why is this going on? Why is this not working for me? And we come to realize that the Holy Spirit's been speaking to us for a long time. And then we finally realize that, wow, I need to get my life right with God. And he breaks us. But he doesn't do it for the fun. He does it to get us on the right track. Some of us wander way too much. Some of us stray a lot. And you keep coming back, oh, I can just ask for forgiveness of this. I can keep coming. Listen, there's consequences for living like that. There's something that we need to get back into our hearts, into our lives, and into our church. That is called reverence for God. We've lost reverence for God and his house. We need to get that back a little bit. God is worthy of our best. God is worthy of our best. And here it is. There are still people today living a life of sin and all these sinful things of bondage, and it's affecting them in their health. Folks, this is why we're here. God's revealing to us, to me through this study here, even just standing here in the pulpit, that God's revealing this is why new life exists. To worship, to gather, to disciple, to baptize, share the gospel, all those great things that Jesus called the church to do. But also, he's given us something else to help the brokenhearted, to help those who are sinful, to live in a life of sin, that there is hope. And the hope isn't in anything but Jesus Christ. Our hope is in Christ and Christ alone. And until we cry out, we're going to continue to live in the same mess we've been living in. You put two alcoholics together and they talk about the good old days. The good old days were never that good. You get two alcoholics together, they're going to talk about, they're going to be looking at each other. How can we get another drink? How can we get another drink? But I'm sorry to say that sometimes in those two, that sometimes there's a Christian amongst one of those two and just rebelled against God. Does that mean God doesn't love him? God doesn't love her? No, God loves them. Sometimes God's going to break somebody and it's going to be tough breaking. Why do we put that on ourselves? Why do we put self-affliction on ourselves? Today I can say to the Lord, thankfully, the Lord is a God to His own word. I've been in this place a few times. I've had to cry out to God. And the brokenness, loss of something, loss of a loved one. Where I've had to cry out to God, getting me back on the right track many years ago. Where I've had to cry out to God for my own children, or cry out to God for this church, for going through things, or cry out to God for this community, cry out to God for people that continue to go through the same thing and won't change, just crying out to God for His helping hand. And I want to remind you, when you cry out to God, He is listening. He listens to those who call out His name from their heart, mind, soul, and their whole body. God does listen. Don't you listen to the devil's lie that God doesn't listen. God is always listening. Maybe you need to call out to Him. Folks, there's been a couple of times in my life where I've felt the Holy Spirit lead me, church, and other times where I've just been by myself, where God's called me to a closer peace. Just had to cry out to Him because I couldn't take that load. No, I couldn't take the load any longer. I'm telling you, I love the hugs that Gracie gives. I love the hugs that other people, that Kelly gives. I love the hugs that people give. But there is nothing like the Holy Spirit when He puts His arms around you and says, I don't care how big of a man you are, you can break in front of me because this is exactly what needs to happen. You need to break and let it go. Let it all go. And then you'll see what God can do with an individual. Father, You are an amazing God. And we love You for all that You are. These three pieces today are very strong pieces. I pray, Father, today that Your word has soaked into the hearts and Your Holy Spirit will lead to the hearts of the people here today. And we ask it in Jesus' name. Amen.